listening to Get Sports Radio.
Number 9, our 2017 NFC North Primer. It is the Get Sports Info Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Claskins, coming at you here on Friday, June the 23rd. Summer has officially started, and we are getting ready for some fantasy football. Training camp is literally just a couple weeks away, and we got a good show for you today. I'm going to talk to my good friend, Dennis Farrell, fantasyfootballgeekly.com. He's going to come in, a longtime Detroit radio guy, talk a little Lions, talk Packers, Vikings, and Bears with us too. We're going to get into some sports movies, the best sports movies of all time. That's our hashtag my, the number one more thing commentary today. You know, it is summer. The blockbusters are coming out. What a better time to look at some of our favorites of all time. I can tell you one thing I learned when I was putting together this list of my favorites, my must-see sports movies, is I'm old. I'm getting real old because most of these movies are from quite a long time ago. But we'll get into that list and much more on the show today. As I said, we're getting into the NFC North, going team by team for you there. A few news and notes, though, before we dive into that and bring Dennis into the mix. And I got to tell you, I'm pretty pumped up. We'll be going back on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio. Sixth season of Fantastics Insider Football kicking off here as we turn the calendar to July. And joining my good friend James Adams there for yet another season of fun. So you can catch that Saturdays and Sundays, Sirius 210 XM87. At least until the season starts, and then we'll likely just go to Saturdays once again. Also, my articles are pumping up at Pro Football Focus. Check out my work there. Right now, I'm knee-deep in a Superflex 12-team PPR mock draft for the site, and liking the way my team's looking so far. I mean, Superflex leagues are always a lot of fun. If you haven't ever done one, to me, we'll talk a lot more about different types of scoring leagues in upcoming episodes. But in a 10-team or less league, it's got to be two quarterbacks. And I like the Superflex leagues a little bit more than the two QB setups once you get to 12-team leagues. I'll share the results of that on my Twitter, where you can always follow me. Follow show updates at Dan Claskins. Of course, the website here, getsportsinfo.com. It's the home of the podcast. You can also subscribe to it on Google, iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud. It's out everywhere you need to listen. And right now, my rankings are still at GetSportsInfo.com. We're going to talk about them a little bit today as we dive into the NFC North. But I encourage you to go there, check out. I've already got them ranked out. All your standard PPR ranks, of course, once again, at Fantasy Pros as well. And before we get into the division previews, I did just want to touch on a couple headlines since we last spoke, including Eric Decker. It's official. He is a Tennessee Titan, landing there in Tennessee, in an offense that is really up and coming. He signs a one-year contract with the Titans. It's worth about $3.85 million. It's a little bit different than the two-year deal, the $11 million deal we saw Jeremy Maclin, another veteran that became a late free agent here in the market, signed with the Ravens. But Decker gets a nice signing bonus. He's going to Nashville. What a great city. And here he is in an offense that's suddenly looking pretty good. Still a run-first approach, but if Marcus Mariota comes back, as I expect he will from this injury that's ended his season a year ago, I mean, Decker, another weapon in the mix. It is going to back down my projections a little bit on both Rishard Matthews. I think he's going to take a little bit of a hit. I think Delanie Walker, another player I moved down a spot or two in the tight end rankings here, but we'll see how it goes with training camp. As for Decker, I still don't know if he's much more than a low-end wide receiver, too, but a good spot for him indeed. Also, newsworthy, Derek Carr, newsworthy indeed, becoming the NFL's highest-paid player ever as he reaches a five-year, $125 million extension with the Raiders, $40 million of that fully guaranteed, and Raiders all in. I'll tell you what, I love this offense. Carr, not a guy that I'm overly excited about as a fantasy QB. I mean, he's certainly solid and starter worthy in most weeks, but that offense, really looking good. They got a great line. Marshawn Lynch coming back. Plenty of weapons there. I think the Raiders are the best chance shot to beat and contend with the New England Patriots in the AFC once again this season. And for Carr, he is definitely getting paid there. So we'll talk more Raiders. We're going to get into the AFC West in episode 10 of the Get Sports Info podcast. But right now, it's time to talk some NFC North, and it's time for another one of our Friends in Fantasy segments. Very happy to welcome back. Somebody's been joining us on radio and different things. First time ever here on the podcast, a guy that knows a lot about podcasting. You get his podcast, fantasyfootballgeekly.com, and Detroit native, Lions fan as well, Dennis Farrell, at Dennis77Farrell on Twitter, and with us now here on the Get Sports Info podcast. Dennis, man, I know it's been a while since we talked some football, but I'm sure you're like me, pumped up and ready for some fantasy to start kicking off.
I'm just glad you still remember who I am, so thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, man, happy to do it. And, you know, we're talking some Lions, and I was like, man, the Lions, you and I can relate, I think, to each other, because I'm a Bengals fan, and it's just been a miserable, miserable existence for us in recent times. At least I got to watch my team playing a couple Super Bowls, I will say that.
You know, I'm jealous, but being a Lions fan isn't so bad. It's a lot of up and coming, and if you're older, you've seen some good times. You've seen some Hall of Fame great players come through our organization that we've not quite utilized. And, you know, we've got one more on the horizon with Matthew Stafford. People are sleeping on him, but I think this is going to be, you know, his top five quarterback year.
I am with you in terms of Matthew Stafford and people sleeping on him. I've gone on the record of already saying that this guy is one of the more underrated fantasy commodities at the position. I love, I talked about it in the Players I Like More, episode 8 of the podcast last week. He was on that list of guys I like more than the industry, fantasy pros, the expert consensus rankings. The last time I looked, I've got Matthew Stafford sitting at number 8 at quarterback in my rankings. That's some 7 spots higher than the industry average. And I mean, I get maybe 8's a little bullish because it's not as much about Stafford, but some of these other guys on the list. But I mean, this guy's QB1 all day, and he's not ranking as one right now there at Fantasy Pros. So I find that hard to believe.
I think it's due to the lack of touchdowns. Here's a guy that's passed for 4,000 yards for, man, it seems like it's a consistent stat now for Matthew Stafford. But don't sleep on the fact that they finally addressed one of their major issues is that offensive line. They spent this whole offseason, TJ Lang, through the draft. This is a team that has upgraded their offensive line, and that will help Matthew Stafford immensely. Maybe the talent at wide receiver is not quite there, but hey, you know, Matthew Stafford makes average wide receivers look good. Golden Tate, if he can be more open, can help other wide receivers. This is a guy that's going to throw the ball around. You have Eric Ebron, who people like to make fun of him because he has, you know, hands like butter, just drops everything left to right. But he was still a top 15 tight end at the end of the last season. He was only 10 points out of being a top 10 tight end. Now, it's a guy you can still late in your draft, stash him on your bench, and see how Matthew Stafford does upright this season.
Yeah, I think you're right. The offensive line is going to make a big difference. You know, you touch on Golden Tate, and to me, you talk about an underrated player. Here's another guy that sort of fits into that range, particularly if you're in a PPR league. I mean, the touchdowns haven't been there since he's donned the Lions uniform, but last year we saw Marvin Jones in his first season in Detroit get that fast breakout, but there was no question as the season went on who this team's wide receiver one was. In fact, from week 8 on, only 4 receivers in the league had more catches or, and I believe it was only 7 wideouts in all of the league saw more targets. So Stafford loves going to Tate underneath. The guy is steady Eddie when it comes to catches. 8.4 receptions per contest. And, you know, like I said, I'd like to see him get in the end zone a little bit more. Only 14 touchdowns since the start of 2014. But I view him as a wide receiver, too, and a good one to get, especially, like I said, in PPR leagues. Marvin Jones, there's an interesting fella. I think that he was probably doing, obviously, a lot more than he's really capable of over a lengthy period at the beginning of the year, but I think he got a lot worse than you're going to see him. I think he's going to level it out a little bit this year. I think he's a guy that will be a nice value, especially if you can pluck him as like your wide receiver 4, very mid-range or late wide receiver 3 in some deeper leagues.
He's not going to be a guy I'm looking after in PPR leagues by no means. I mean, what was it, a handful of times at the second half of the season, he had over 3 catches. That doesn't strike. I have to have him in the PPR league. Now, if you're in a standard league, he might be a sneaky wide receiver three. But there were two things about him that stood out last season. When the Lions signed him, I reached out via Twitter to you and said, hey, what can you tell me about Marvin Jones? Because nobody knows a guy coming from one team to the other than a fan of that team. And you told me, great guy, don't expect a ton of catches. And I do believe
he can make big plays, though.
Absolutely, he can when given that opportunity. And Matthew Stafford has the big arm to make those plays. Look, people love to look at Calvin Johnson with rose-colored glasses, but let's be honest with ourselves. The last 3 years, maybe, Calvin Johnson was not Megatron. And Matthew Stafford made Calvin Johnson look better than he was. I get a lot of heat out here because everybody loves Calvin Johnson, and Calvin Johnson's next Barry Sanders Hall of Famer that was underutilized. But, you know, a lot of what Megatron was Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, I mean, all fair points. I do think it's interesting to note with Anquan Boldin likely not returning to the Lions. He's still not even on a team. I do believe that he might join a team before the start of the season, but I don't think it's going to be in Detroit. And there's been a lot of buzz through rookie mini camps and, you know, the other workouts since the draft about Kenny Galladay, you know, coming up here as a potential player to get into the mix. But really, outside of Jones and Tate, not a lot of experience at the position. The targets have to go somewhere. I think a lot of them in the red zone will go to Eric Ebron. I'm like you. I actually got Ebron. Here's a guy that, I mean, I don't know if you would call him a post-hype sleeper, but I sort of feel like he's got that buzz. I've got him as a top 10 tight end, actually at number 10 currently in my rankings, and it's because I think he's going to be active in the red zone, and I do think that he's still got his best season ahead of him if it can all come together. To me, though, the biggest fantasy head-scratcher, and where I differ and get into debate with others on Twitter and in the industry, is it's about this backfield here. Interesting, to say the least. Amir Abdullah continues to tease with his big play potential, but durability has been a concern. Theo Riddick is a PPR stud, but, you know, how does he fit in, especially if Abdullah can stay healthy? You got Zach Zenner, who was, goodness, I mean, how many Zach Zenner people were, you know, stroking him last year? What's your expectations of this Lions backfield? How are the share of carries really going to break out here in 2017?
This is going to be a weird situation because you also have Dwayne Washington. I believe they signed, Asiata out of Minnesota.
Asiata is on the roster. He was at it.
So you have a Mike James. Let's not forget about him. Yeah. This has a very potential. If people stay healthy, it will be a very crowded backfield. It won't hurt Theo Riddick only in PPR leagues. If you're in a standard league, I wouldn't touch Theo Riddick. Amir Abdullah, his draft stock keeps falling and falling due to injury. And part of my draft philosophy every year is I'm not going to overpay for a running back unless I have the top two or three picks. I'll wait it out. I'll load up on wide receivers. And then year in and year out, I'll gamble on a lot of these running backs that are looking for redemption. Last year, you know, I kept telling people, hey, you know, stop. You're overpaying for running backs. People are kind of stuck between that two running back philosophy. They'll draft a wide receiver, and then they'll run heavy like three or four rounds in a row. Every year, there are guys like Melvin Gordon sitting around, DeMarco Murray sitting around the fourth, fifth, and sixth rounds that you can snap up and help win you a championship. And I think Amir Abdullah, if he stays healthy, will be that guy. If he gets injured, you're only spending a fifth-round pick on a running back. Maybe an RB3 on most fantasy teams, so it won't kill you.
Looking at some early ADP data from one of my favorite sites for ADP, fantasyfootballcalculator.com, you look at right now these running backs in particularly, and in a PPR 12-team league, the average ADP, about what you would expect, I think, for players of their caliber. Before I say it, what would be your guess, Dennis, on where these guys are actually getting drafted right now?
Amir Abdullah, I'm going to guess six, because I think...
Six round, you're saying?
Yeah, round six, 12.
Pick 5.8 right now is his average draft position. That's RB25, so a little bit higher than you're thinking there. And I think that is why... That, to me, is why I probably won't have a ton of shares of Abdullah, because it's not that I don't like the guy. I mean, there is a trust issue, but to me, it's like there's so many people that are still sold off on those couple preseason runs, and the fact he's still going in the fifth round, despite all the baggage that we've discussed here, that's a little rich for my blood. So it's not that I don't like him, but I'm not going to overpay. And I might end up with a couple shares. To me, the better value is Theo Riddick, who, what's your guess on his PPR ADP at this point?
I'm going to guess, if it's a standard league.
No, this is 12-team PPR drafts only.
PPR, you know what? I'm going to say round six again. Maybe, no, round five. Give me round five.
I think how about this? He's RB46 right now, pick 10.10. In hundreds of drafts, 12-team PPR leagues, and I think that's criminal. Is ridiculously low. So to me, Riddick is a guy I'm going to end up with more shares, at least in that format, because, and this is sort of the point I'm making here, is I believe that both of these guys are fantasy assets. I believe one of them is a little overpriced right now. I think one of them is going to provide some tremendous value if he stays in that range.
That's almost criminal if you think about what Theo Riddick did last season. I would overdraft him if it, like you said, PPR league, and he's to me at round seven. I'm taking him all day long at round seven.
If I go after in PPR setups, as I often do, three receivers in those first four or five picks, get me an RB1, even a tight end or a second running back, and it gets to round six or seven, and I'm able to get Theo Riddick as my RB2, I'm good with it if I'm loaded elsewhere. So to me, that's where the value is at. We'll see how it continues. Let's move along, though. The Lions are a great team, and I know you like them, but I don't want to spend the whole podcast talking about them. Let's talk about probably the best team in the division and the one that perennial favorites, and once again, the Vegas money line favorite to win it this year, the Green Bay Packers. And man, I mean, you talk about the Packers, obviously you got to talk about fantasy's best quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, and what a season he had a year ago. The guy is as consistent as they come, and you look at Rodgers here, some new weapons to talk about with him. I think in addition to that, the team still without that marquee running back, it gets back down to ADP with me, and while we're on the topic of average draft position right now, and once again, looking at 12-team leagues here, Aaron Rodgers, the consensus number one on nearly every website in their rankings, the ADP suggested, but pick 2.09, late second round pick. That to me, once again, Dennis, a reason I probably won't end up with a lot of shares of Rodgers. I absolutely love the guy. Last year, I was plucking him up in some scout fantasy leagues and some high stakes leagues. I was getting Rodgers in round six, seven, eight. I had him as number one on my quarterback last year. Others did not, but I'm no way in hell am I paying a second-round pick. What's the earliest you would pull the trigger on drafting Aaron Rodgers?
Just because I don't feel like there's that big of a jump-off, although last season, depending on the scoring, it was like 40 points between Aaron Rodgers and who came in second, whether it be Matt Stafford or Breeze. It's got to be like round five for me, because why – I'll take Matthew Stafford in round six, seven, or eight all day long. I'll roll the dice on Derek Carr, who's getting a better team. Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston, Cam Newton. These are all guys going super late in fantasy drafts.
Yeah.
Why waste a pick two on a quarterback when you can get a draft value in eight or
in a one quarterback setup, especially. No. I mean, here's the thing. I hit it on at the top of the hour or top of the podcast here when I was talking about I'm in a 12-team PPR Superflex mock draft right now, Pro Football Focus, and I myself didn't take Rodgers, there. It wasn't because I wouldn't have, but when you get in a Superflex or a two quarterback league, that's why I love those formats, because now Rodgers really becomes a fantasy commodity. And I'm not against picking him somewhere even in round one. I don't think it's terrible in a super flex league where two quarterbacks suddenly get in there, because now the replacement value gets a lot tougher. And I'm not saying that's my strategy, so to say, but I could justify that first, even early second round price in those formats. But to me, I think the earliest round I would even consider Rodgers if he were to fall is round four, and you get into some of these expert/industry leagues where everybody's waiting on quarterback. Those are the ones where I usually get shares of Rodgers, because he's there. Once he's there in round four, it's like, okay, I'll take my chances. Because, you can get those other guys, but doing it week in, week out, consistency is the big thing. And when you wait around to take the 10th and 14th quarterbacks off the board. You know, picking which one goes in your lineup each week, that is a nightmare, and it is a headache, and one that goes, I believe, understated when everybody just says, oh, we don't quarterback. So, I don't know. That's my sort of take on Rodgers. Let's talk about some of his weapons. I mean, Jordy Nelson. This guy, coming off a major injury last year, didn't disappoint. I'm still believing he's got more in his tank. Others, you know, a little not as skeptical. But you look at the, I mean, the top five fantasy receivers, you know, we can debate the order. But, I mean, pretty much you're looking at, obviously, Antonio Brown, ODB. You got Mike Evans, Julio Jones, AJ Green. To me, they're like all above, right? Once you get past those guys, who comes to the top? And to me, Jordy Nelson has to be in that conversation.
And people forget, a healthy Randall Cobb only helps Jordy Nelson. It doesn't hurt him. This isn't one of those teams where if you were to say, and it didn't hurt him all that much last season, but Victor Cruz coming back and cutting into a little bit of Odell Beckham Jr.'s value, this isn't that same scenario. They don't have a run game. Sure, you can try to sell me that, Ty Montgomery had, 5.8 yards per carry last season. But the sample size, I think, was 70.
Can he
carries.
Do? Yeah, is he going to do it over the course of the season? They drafted some rookie running backs, but you know, I mean, something has to pop up there. We all agree they're still definitely past first team.
Absolutely, and they showed it with, you know, with not addressing that situation of free agency.
And they showed they get to the playoffs and win with that philosophy as well.
Well, you know, I don't know. I think the division's ripe for the picking for them. So they'll make it to the playoffs. How deep they'll go, I guess it just depends on how they stay healthy. This is also a team that's notorious about just getting picked off one by one by one. Just a player here and a player there. And it always just comes down at the end of the year where they lose two offensive linemen and a wide receivers bank. This is just a team that cannot stay healthy either, people.
From a fantasy owner's standpoint, you got to love having pieces of this offense, though. And to me, Nelson's the guy. I mean, he's if he stays healthy, which obviously, I mean, those questions are legit since he has had missed some significant time in recent years. But touchdown-wise, he's as good as they're going to come. I mean, this guy is a safe bet for double-digit touchdowns, and he and Rodgers definitely have a connection. Davante Adams, here was a guy that definitely was a post-high sleeper a year ago, and he turned into be quite a fantasy producer. How do you view him this year? What, you know, where does he fall in the rankings? What tier of receivers do you think he ends up in?
You know, I think, and it's not because of him, but just because of what is out there, who's moved around, I would put him low tier 2, high tier 3 maybe. You know, Brandon Cooks, I would put above him.
Interesting because that's about where I've got him.
Okay, good.
As well. I got him at 22, but yeah, I got Cooks at 20, but I don't know if that's tier 3, 4. Depends on how big your tiers are, but
yeah,
I think we're both saying the same thing. This guy's a decent wide receiver, too, especially if you got a high-end wide receiver 1.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, 10 spots per tier. That would put us about really close. I like him a little bit better than maybe Julian Edelman going into the season, Demaryius Thomas, Golden Tate. I might have Amari Cooper ahead of him, definitely Jarvis Landry ahead of him.
Yeah. It gets interesting there, but I think we're aligned with Davante Adams. How about the newcomer at tight end, Martellus Bennett? I mean, to me, there is some reason to get excited here. I mean, hell, I got excited about Jared Cook as a fantasy commodity last year in this offense at times, and he didn't disappoint. I definitely think Bennett is a step up from Cook, but I've seen some that are getting a little, to me, a little maybe jumping the gun here. I've seen him in some people's top 5. I don't think that I'm ready to put him there. I think for guys like me that generally wait around on tight end, he's a guy that becomes a little bit more appealing. You know, we go back to the ADP at Fantasy Calculator, and you know, once again, I'm talking PPR formats because that's the majority. He is tight end 8 right now, and around about 7, you know, right there with Delanie Walker, shortly before Hunter Henry, right after around later than Jimmy Graham, Tyler Eifert. I'm good with that. I think that's the price you're going to pay for Martellus Bennett. Do you think he can get value at that price? Do you see him having a potential breakout campaign now with the Packers and Aaron Rodgers?
I'm sold he can, and here's why. He did it with the Bears. when he went over to New England, we all thought, all right, he's going to play second fiddle to Gronkowski. He still produced when Gronkowski was around. He fell off at the end of the year, you know, in a very disappointing manner after week 10. Sure. But here's a guy that's been consistent with being the top two, three tight ends in the league every year, especially on a bad Chicago team. Now he goes to a Green Bay team where all we've ever wanted in fantasy was for Aaron Rodgers to have a capable tight end. We saw a little bit last season of what could happen. Just think of what he could do with a Martellus Bennett, a guy who is a playmaker. He's a red zone guy if need be. He's big. He's tough. He can score. I feel like that top five, I would have him seven-ish. Would be my comfort zone when ranking him, but this is a guy that will probably exceed most of our expectations, I believe.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch. I think the Packers, from just a football standpoint, definitely getting better at the position, and that's what the key takeaway is there. This is the Get Sports Info Podcast, the episode number 9, our 2017 NFC North Primer. I'm your host, Dan Klaskins, talking with Dennis Farrell. You can catch him, fantasyfootballgeekly.com, his podcast. And Dennis, we've knocked out the Lions and the Packers. Let's move along to the other two teams here and pick it back up with a look here at the Minnesota Vikings. Life after Adrian Peterson begins in Minnesota. What's that offense look like now? I mean, what is the Vikings' identity, I would say, on that side of the football?
One that's going to be the ugliest guy at the dance. No one's going to look at you. Nobody wants to dance with you. I'm not sure. There's many reasons for us to get really excited about this offense. Let's be honest with ourselves. And I'm sorry if you're a Minnesota fan listening and you're sitting there with your AP jersey, with your
flag. I mean, the Vikings are one of my fans. I mean, I do like the Vikings. Me, it's more about Mike Zimmer and having known him a little bit here in Cincinnati as our coordinator. So I've become a Vikings rooter, but it is ugly. You're all right.
I mean, look, guys, you just have to face it. They've not done a lot with this team. Sure, they got Latavius Murray, but is that enough to make me get all hype? No, they still have Sam Bradford. Come on, Treadwell, Michael Floyd, there's not a lot here to really get excited about. And you're talking at best maybe wide receiver 4 is the highest I would draft any one of these wide receivers. There's nothing here. And part of that, Sam Bradford. There's nothing about Bradford that excites me. There's nothing about this run game. I'm worried about Latavius Murray down there. I don't know. Do you see it the same way?
Well, I mean, Latavius Murray, I'm not buying into him. Maybe he gets involved, but I believe it's Dalvin Cook's show. I've been well on record. You know, the Florida State running back, I believed was the best back coming out of the draft, and the fact they were able to get him in round 2, the offensive line, a big concern there. The fact Latavius Murray was signed, you still have Jerick McKinnon. It's going to remain to be seen Cook and what his timeshare will become, but I believe the future is he. I disagree with you on the wide receivers. I mean, we saw both Diggs and Adam Thielen offer quite a bit of production with the same quarterback last year and without the benefit of having a playmaker like Cook, so I'm not like saying these guys are top 15 players. I much like the Amir Abdullah and Theo Riddick conversation that we talked about. I think that the Diggs and Adam Thielen difference in their ADP right now makes Thielen the guy I'm more likely to have shares of, particularly in PPR. But yeah, let's not get carried away here. I mean, Diggs, I believe he's a wide receiver 3. I think Thielen's probably more of a wide receiver 4. I think the gap closes. Diggs definitely has some upside. I mean, even coming out of college, this guy has always been a playmaker. I think they are hindered in their production definitely by Sam Bradford. But to me, the guy that's probably the most likely and valuable weekly starting option in and out of your lineup as a fantasy commodity comes at the tight end position, where you get a guy like Kyle Rudolph, who finally had that breakout receiver. And Dennis, I got to tell you, I covered Kyle Rudolph during his high school football playing days. Wow. As the publisher here at TriStateFootball.com, Cincinnati Elder High School. This guy was an absolute stud. I watched him closely in his days of Notre Dame. I've been on and waiting for some sort of breakout, and he finally delivered it last year, and it was great to see. I mean, you look at the numbers here, 83 catches, 840 yards, 7 touchdowns. Not a great blocker, you know, especially in the running game. We know the Vikings are going to try to run the football. I mean, Pro Football Focus, I believe he had like the 58th grade among 65 or 60, maybe 8 qualifiers at tight end in run blocking. So that hurts him, but he's a touchdown guy. He's a guy that you wait around on tight end. Kyle Rudolph's a guy that's, barring injury, which has been an issue, is a guy that, to me, is a surefire top 10 tight end going at the right price. So I do like him, and I absolutely love this Vikings defense. A ton of studs there. I think they're going to be one of the better team special teams units. And I am interested. I'm not, from a fantasy perspective, I'm not really going after him, but I am keeping my eyes on how they are able to develop Laquon Treadwell. I have heard some good things, and that he's finally making progress. We know he was extremely raw coming in as a rookie. So we'll see. I think you hit the nail on the head, though. As long as Sam Bradford is the quarterback here and Teddy Bridgewater not going to be able to return at least to start this season, that is the case. You know, it's hard to get too excited, but I do think there's more value than probably you, bro. So let's move on to a team that I definitely don't think there's a lot of value on, and it's always good to have a little punchline in any show, and that's the Chicago Bears, because here's the team I really can't figure out at all, Dennis. I mean, that draft day and watching the when they got Mitch Trubisky and the reaction that brought on Twitter was absolutely hilarious.
Well, and the basketball team didn't disappoint the other night either, did they? just remind me, though, we need to go back, and I want to touch on Diggs for another second.
No, if you got some Vikings more takes, I'm sorry, man. Go ahead and offer them up now.
I just want to say Diggs reminds me of Doug Martin during his rookie year, where Doug Martin had that phenomenal, what was that, a massive four-game streak.
It was like three games, and one of them was the monster game against the Raiders. And I happened to be going against him in like four of my six key leagues that day. I'll never forget. I fell asleep on a nap from a rough night before, and I woke up and Martin had like four touchdowns.
I remember that game too. But Diggs kind of reminds me of that during his rookie year. There was really a stretch of three games where he had 20-plus fantasy points. He showed some signs in the first two games, just disappeared, showed back up, and I'd say about week 8 through week 10, and then kind of was okay the rest of the way. So
yeah. He is streaky. I mean, there's no doubt.
That's the only thing that's keeping me from really going all in is I think you'll see this again next season, where if Diggs puts together three great games, sell him immediately. Get wide receiver one or two prices for him. Someone in your league will pay for it, but the second he's in the middle of that streak, get rid of him.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely a little bit better too, I think, and you know, heavy yardage, you know, big play in leagues where you get the bonus points for big yards. Definitely like him in the best ball formats. Got him a little bit in MFL 10s. But as we said, wide receiver 35 right now, round 8.01 picks in his PPR league. I've got him actually nestled in my ranks. Where did he go? At a little bit higher than that. So right around the 30 mark at wide receiver in PPR setup. So I don't know. I don't dislike Diggs. I think that's the right spot for him, but I don't think it's going to give you a lot of great value. As I said before, I think the value, especially in this format, it lies with Adam Thielen, who is wide receiver 50, pick 11.10. I think he's going to continue to get enough targets to warrant a return there. Are you good on the Vikings? Are we ready to move to the Bears?
We're done. That's all. I just had to get my one.
No, man. Definitely a chance to rebuttal on them. Let's move on to the Bears. And yeah, I mean, as I said, I mean, the good news for Bears fans is the Jay Cutler era has come to an end. The bad news is, well, they still got Mike Glennon, and they drafted at a way too high of a price, trading up to number two, Mitch Trubisky. The Windy City, it seems like for our entire lives, have been looking for the quarterback, and it continues to be the storyline here in 2017.
Boy, I thought you were going to say good news for the Bears that the season's only 17 weeks long. Oof. Because this is going to be a long year. I will give them credit. If someone said to me, hey, you're going to start a team with Kevin White, a healthy Kevin White, Wheaton, Meredith, we'll throw in Kendall Wright, and maybe a Daniel, was it Braverman? I go, you know what? That's and Victor Cruz. I go, Reuben Randall on that team. I go, wow, that's a great core for a good wide receiver core right there. And then someone goes, hey, you get Mitch Trubisky as your quarterback? I go, I'm out.
Yeah. Well, I think Mike Glennon will definitely get his chance and probably be the guy for most of this season, unless it just gets really ugly or injury. And the question is, I guess, is, I mean, we haven't really seen a lot of Mike Glennon. So do I think he's going to be, you know, the next great thing? No. Do I? Could he be actually an adequate starter? Maybe. I mean, maybe he can, you know, not embarrass the Bears. I mean, they probably won't be the worst passing offense in the league. I tell you what I do like. I think their defense still sucks. And as we mentioned about some of their other division opponents and some of their, you know, the schedule they're facing, I mean, there's going to be some firepower. So I expect a ton of garbage time opportunities from this Bears offense. And, you know, Jordan Howard, we'll get to him in a minute. But, you know, I just don't think they're going to be leading many games come the fourth quarter this season. And I, whoever's throwing the football, I think the targets are going to be there for guys like Cam Meredith. You talk about Kevin White. Can he stay healthy? He's only played in four games of his NFL career. I will say, I think he's still got some upside. I think he's a guy that, you know, if he falls late enough, I'll roll the dice on, because there is that unknown. Can he stay healthy? I'm not as big on the veterans, right? And I certainly don't think Victor Cruz. You forgot they also have Reuben Randall in the mix, if you want to talk, you know, about, you know, veteran receivers that, you know, really amount to nothing. So I think the passing game will offer some production. Figuring out where it comes from right here as we talk in July, you know, I don't think that that's going to necessarily go down in that manner. Zach Miller, I'm going to throw that name out to you, you know, sticking in this passing game at tight end. Because of a lot of the reasons I just said, you know, he's coming off a major injury. This guy, obviously with different quarterbacks last year, he looked pretty good there at times. He was sneaky productive. I think, you know, if you wait around and you carry, especially if you carry more than one tight end on your roster and you're throwing a late pick. I've been throwing a lot of those last few picks in MFL 10s at him as a tight end too. But I think he could definitely, you know, finish and surprise some people this year.
Five out of his 11 weeks that he played, he had double-digit fantasy points. That's great from a team that was led by a guy's equivalently skill set of you and me. Let's be honest with ourselves.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, there was production there last year. And to me, yeah, these guys that we're talking about on this year's roster suck, but they have upgraded, believe it or not.
That wide receiver core is actually an amazing upgrade if you go by name value and what they could do. They could spread the field out. Some of these guys, you know, as we like to make fantasy jokes, we, you know, it's easy for us to make fantasy jokes, but in real life...
Especially about the Bears.
Right. But in real life football, you know, Victor Cruz, Reuben Randall, and Kendall Wright, they all command attention on the football field. People forget that. I mean, maybe not in fantasy football, but people, defensive coordinators will eye in on those.
The problem is like trying to figure out who from that pile is going to like emerge. And, you know, there's guys I like better there. I mean, I definitely think Meredith and White are the only two guys that are pretty much draftable in most leagues. I mean, unless you're getting in a deep format. The rest of these guys are just names to watch for potential waiver wire pickups and what you have. Backfield, I mean, they've got some names there, too. Really only one I want to waste our time talking about, and that's Jordan Howard. And what a rookie season he had. Had it not been for Ezekiel Elliott, this guy, in all likelihood, would have been NFL's Rookie of the Year. He led, you know, what was it? It was third in the league, excuse me, with 1,246 rushing yards. And, you know, definitely getting the workload there once he actually took over, you know, start getting the bulk of the carries there around week four of the season, his first big breakout game. You look at what he did. I mean, getting into the end zone, you know, you talk about players doing it in chunks. I mean, if you're going to give Stephon Diggs and some of the other guys we talked about here, I mean, you do have to take fact that three of his touchdowns came all in one game, and then he only rushed for three other scores the rest of the season. So I think that is something to certainly look at. But, you know, the 100-yard days were there. 100, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them, including running for 86 or more yards in all five of his last games down the stretch. I like Jordan Howard. I think he's a low-end RB1. I think there are others in the industry that are a little more bullish on him than me, for sure. I've got him at RB11 in PPR leagues, a spot or two higher in standard formats. I see a lot of people with him in that 5 to 6 range. I'll gladly take Jay Ajayi over him. I know others will not. Where do you stand on Jordan Howard? And, you know, is this a guy that can be that RB1 and carry your fantasy team to a championship this season?
I think he can, and he will come at a very cheap cost considering what he can bring back to you. I like him better than DeMarco Murray. I like him better than Marshawn Lynch, Todd Gurley, any of the rookies coming in this season. I have him at number 8 in my ranking, so we're pretty close. And, you know, as much as and I'm fighting with myself this year because I'm really, as much as I liked Melvin Gordon last season because his value was so low, I'm kind of coming off this love for Melvin Gordon because his value is so high. Yeah, you know, I look for these guys every year that the hype train is just amazing on. Lamar Miller a few years ago, we all remember that. I kind of have that feeling that maybe Melvin Gordon is not going to be a top 4 running back, top 5 running back.
See, I'm different there,
oh,
man.
Oh, come on. Really?
It's not as much about Melvin Gordon, man. And in fantasy, to me, it's about opportunity. It's about offense. I mean, they've got nothing else behind him now.
Mm.
And that Chargers offense is loaded. They spread him out, man. It's going to be tough for them to stack the box to stop Melvin Gordon. I guess, really, to me, after you get past the big three at running back, I mean, we all would agree who those guys are. You can put them in whatever order you want. But Johnson, Bell, and Elliott, that is a hard tier one, and tier two should be more like tier three because that's the type of gap I believe there to be. So,
yes,
I guess with Howard, he's sort of, I think he's one of about 6 or 7 backs that honestly we could put in that tier two. I know you said you like to put 10 in each tier. I'd get a little bit more deeper, drilled down than that. So, bottom line is, in any format, this guy is a second round pick right now in his ADP. He's a guy that is going to cost you that and will probably deliver on that value if everything goes well and he stays healthy there in Chicago. I'm not questioning that. I think Jordan Howard's a guy that you can turn to as your RB1, especially if you go, if you're picking, mid to late round one and you end up getting a guy like a Mike Evans or an A.J. Green and then come back at the beginning part of round two with Jordan Gordon, that's a heck of a start to your fantasy draft.
I would say if you're outside the Chicago area and not playing with an expert, you may be shocked to see Jordan Howard fall to the beginning of round three. I kind of feel like there are going to be people that go, Chicago. The average fantasy guys out there will probably do that. The weekend guys who will buy the draft magazine and mark them off on draft day, and maybe they'll go to one of the big sites on game day to look up who they should start and who they should sit. And that's great. And I'm not knocking them, but that's those leagues where you'll see Jordan Howard fall because they'll go Chicago. I don't know, second year guy. I'm a little bullish on him. I'm gonna go with Todd Gurley or Marshawn Lynch over him. Don't be shocked if you see Jordan Howard fall to round three, and don't let him get to round three. By the way,
bottom line: the further he falls, the more I start liking him.
Absolutely.
So. So that's our four teams there on the NFC North. When I get to episode number 10, we will actually go back to the AFC with a trip out west and a look at those four teams. And we're going to end this show by talking once again about a topic a little off the beaten path, if you will. The podcast, you can find it at GetSportsInfo.com. It's also the home of the blog there, the hashtag my, the number one more thing blog. And now that I'm with Pro Football Focus and most of my fantasy stuff, written content anyway, is going to go over there. Get Sports Info. I mean, I'm writing all things sports. I go off here, and this week I wanted to do my must-see sports movies. The list is up there now on the site, along with some of my favorite clips from those flicks. So check that out, and we're going to dive into that. I want to get Dennis, and we're going to talk about some of our favorites, maybe the most underrated, overrated ones of those. Before we get into any of that, though, as we're wrapping up this episode of the podcast, Dennis, I did want to give yourself a chance to talk about your podcast. You guys getting ready to kick off the 2017 season and where folks can find more of your stuff.
Pretty simple, guys. Just go to fantasyfootballgeekly.com. That's where you find the podcast and all that stuff. And follow me on Twitter at Dennis77Farrell.
Indeed, a great follow there. Love talking back and forth with you on Twitter with some fantasy takes. But sports movies, man, this is the time of year I love because the two of my favorite things are sports and movies, right? And, usually you get those big blockbusters. My wife and I, we just went and saw IMAX 3D Wonder Woman last weekend. Dude, I was a little skeptical because it's not like superhero movies are, always great. In most cases, I do like them, but it was mostly that 2 hour and 21 minute duration for a big oaf like me at a theater is never always a good thing. I have a tough time sitting still that long. But I gotta admit, dude, I lost track of time quickly. That movie was awesome. And it, I mean, definitely got enhanced by the IMAX 3D portion of it. But it got me thinking about sports movies and, you know, some of my favorites. And I put together the list. I'm anxious to hear some of your favorites. I will say this. When I start putting together this list, I start realizing, damn, I'm getting old. Because most of these movies were from the 80s, man.
All right. First of all, I'm going to have to call you out on your list. I read your list when you posted it. You have one movie that's I don't even think it's in the honorable mention section. Where the heck is Bad News Bears at?
You know, I was going to put Bad News Bears on there, but you know, honestly, I don't know. I just didn't like that movie as much as a kid. I watched it plenty. I mean, it's all right. I've had others tweet back to me at Bad News Bears, but I mean, I guess just from its old school stake, the new Bad News Bears definitely sucked, though. I mean, you know, if we're going to put one on there, it's got to be the original.
Absolutely. And not even two or three. I think just one.
I think that's the problem with the Bad News Bears is it just got like too much to where it like blurred in my brain to where it's not a movie that comes on today, though, and I'm sitting down like, oh, I get sucked on. And don't kid yourself. It was a decent movie. There's a lot of decent movies that I didn't put on my list here. But, you know, I tried to round it out to, like, my favorite 20, 25 movies. I'll tell you, it's funny. As I was making this list, I actually took a college class at Northern Kentucky University where I graduated. I was a communications broadcasting guy. There was actually a summer class, sports movies. I got 3 credit hours for going once a week during the summer for like 8 weeks and watching a different sports movie and writing about it. Is that just That's hilarious amazing. Or what?
You know, I will say this about my all-time favorite sports movie, and not anybody's ever heard of it, and it caught me at a young age, and it was early 80s when it came out. But do you remember Amazing Grace and Chuck?
I don't think I ever saw that one, dude.
It is a great movie. It's about a kid who sees, like, some nuclear weapons go down the road, because it's the 80s, the Cold War.
Oh, yeah. Like, that was half the movies, yeah. Dude.
And the kid sees him and decides he's going to give up playing baseball because he doesn't want to play in a world with nuclear weapons.
Wow.
Then this guy named Amazing Grace, who was a Boston Celtic, catches wind and decides he's going to stop playing too and support the kid. And the movie covers so much of, you know, there's racism in the South. There's nuclear weapons. It was such a great movie that it will always be one of my favorites, even though it's not that great of a movie.
I'm going to have to check it out. I'll have to do IMDb that on my app after the show here today. Let's get into the one that is your favorite. My favorite on my list, and there were some good ones, but if I had to pick number one, to me it was Hoosiers. And it's probably not the most popular answer on this topic, but part of it is I grew up in Kentucky, the neighboring state of Indiana. And like Indiana, I mean, high school hoops, especially when you get into the rural parts of the state, even today, a big deal, a big deal. I mean, but I will say that, you know, based on the true story and Jimmy Chitwood, I mean, the character development, too. I mean, that's what I really love in any flick. And there was so much good stuff going on there. Hoosier's my number one. What movie is your favorite of all time?
My favorite of all time, other than the one nobody knows about, I'll go with Major Leagues. It's such a great movie.
It was in my top five.
Yep.
The original.
It has to be. The original, yes.
So well casted. I mean, and dude, the Wild Thing song, it was like changed MLB walkout songs with Ricky Vaughn in that movie. Like after that, everybody in real baseball started doing that stuff. So it was a trendsetter as well. Let's look at quickly here the most underrated movie of sports movies of all time, in your opinion, and the most overrated.
The most underrated, I will go with The Legend of Vagger Vance. I don't know if you've seen that.
I have seen that one. I actually forgot about that one. That was a good flick.
It was a good flick. It was underrated. If you've not seen it, Will Smith, Matt Damon's in it. It's a great movie. Golf in the 1920s, I believe it is.
Yeah.
Go check it out. Overrated, Rudy. There's nothing about Rudy the person I like. There's nothing about Rudy the movie. You know, if you know anything about Rudy, the person in real life, he's arrogant. He thinks he's more famous than he really is. Joe Montana even called him out, and it takes a lot for Joe Montana to call you out.
The movie was cool, though. The first time I ever saw it in the theater, I was like, ooh. I didn't put it in my top five. It was on my must-watch list, though. To me, the most overrated was Caddyshack. And don't get me wrong, I like Caddyshack. I just think that I got burnt out on it more than anything else. I mean, that movie was on, like, when we originally had cable television back in the early mid-80s. I mean, I think that movie was on like every 4 hours. But, dude, they had an amazing cast in that movie. And going back and watching it a couple years ago, I was like, this movie could have been so much better. Like, They got a little too slapstick there, but yeah, I mean, Rodney Dangerfield, Ted Knight. I mean, these are some like legends of entertainment. And I think they sort of missed the mark there. My underrated one is The Sandlot. And I don't know how underrated it is. A lot of people love it. But back in high school, dude, when I was the sports editor of the Dixie Heights Kernel Journal back in like 1992 or 3, this movie came out. I got to go to a sneak screening of it and actually interview the dudes in the movie. And I was like, oh, I guess, nice. Like, I still got the promo pack they gave me from that movie, like the folder and like the little Sandlot ball and bat and stuff. So it was a good, great experience. Probably made me a little biased, but this movie does not get enough hype. And I always love when they set movies back like in the 60s. You know, I don't know. It was the same reason I liked Wonder Years so much, I think, and Stand By Me, some of those others. But always fun there. I'm interested to hear your guys' favorite movies. Let me know. Did I mess up my list? You can let me know that too. Include the hashtag my, the number one, more thing. And be sure to check out that more great stuff on the blog at GetSportsInfo.com. Dennis, man, it's been a lot of fun. I do appreciate you spending some time with us. And, man, we'll be here before we know it. I'm sure we'll be talking a little smack here. We'll let you depart by making your official over-under win prediction for your Detroit Lions.
8-8. that's a safe one. I'm not going.
that is safe, dude. Is that what you really think, or do you think it's more like 6-10?
Yeah, 6-10.
Yeah. Good thing there's fantasy football for us.
Thank God.
All right, man. Check him out. TheFantasyFootballGeekly.com is the place to do it, at Dennis77Farrell on Twitter. Until next time around, I am Dan Klaskins. We'll talk to you real soon right here on the Get Sports Info podcast.